The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout your Christian life, you'll never have a week holier than this one. Four solemnities in 7 days. Even when Christmas is on a Monday or a Saturday, and you've got the two solemnities of a Sunday, and you've got New Year's and Christmas, it's 4 in 9 days. So 4 in 7 days, and I've got the other 3 days. Jesus here is summarizing his 16-course meal on the Sermon on the Mount that we have from the 10th through the 12th weeks of ordinary time. When he comes to the end, we have 3 days in which we ponder the synthesis of what he's giving us. And today he gives us 3 images to help us frame not just the Sermon on the Mount, but all his teaching. First is, don't throw what's holy to dogs or your pearls before swine. He wants us to recognize what a precious treasure we have in what he's been teaching us. The treasure in being salt, so that we don't be cast aside and trampled upon, or light that we don't hide under a bushel basket. It's an extraordinary gift. Jesus is using a very popular image of the time. We would never, for example, put diamonds in a toilet. We would never put precious masterpieces in an outhouse. We would care for them. We would treasure them. Jesus wants us to do so with his word. The early church used to use this passage to talk about the way we treat the Holy Eucharist, about the preparation that we have to care for the Lord within purified souls. Jesus wants us to have that same reverence for every word that comes from his mouth. Second image is what we call the golden rule. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Everything of the Old Testament, in fact, everything of the New Testament, is summarized by this novel teaching. You know, I love it at the United Nations when I give the tours there up on the third floor. There's a mosaic of the famous painting of Norman Rockwell for the United Nations about the Golden Rule. Faces from all over the world, different ages, different cultures, different religions. Do unto others whatever you would have them do unto you. And occasionally you can hear UN guides saying that all religions believe this. And it's just, no, they do not, says Tuck. Many religions, including the Old Testament, talked about the silver rule. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. That's possible, even for virtuous pagans. Immanuel Kant essentially came to that in his categorical imperative. We can refrain from harmful behavior to others because we wouldn't want to have that come as a boomerang. Fair enough, that's just having a certain integrity. But to do to others what you would want them to do to you, that's a totally different standard. And in fact, it's Jesus' standard. He loves us, not just so that he would be loved back by us, but so that we might, filled with that love, begin to love him and others and pay it forward, to love one another as he has loved us. It's a totally different standard. And Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is teaching us that standard. If you wouldn't want to be hated, don't hate. If you wouldn't want to be lusted after and objectified, don't objectify. If you wouldn't want others just sort of writing you off saying Korban, don't do that to your parents. If you would want somebody telling you the truth, always tell the truth. Third image is the narrow gate. Jesus describes two paths that we can take, the big choice of life, whether we're going to choose that narrow path, the constricted gate, or whether we're going to choose the broad one on which many are wandering, on a highway to hell, on the road to destruction and perdition. Jesus, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, is giving us a choice in each of these areas. And he notes that at the present, most are on the broad road. We see that right from the very beginning with the Beatitudes. There are far more seeking material riches than spiritual poverty, far more satiating their flesh rather than being pure of heart, far more trying to win the election as most popular in the senior class than being reviled and persecuted and hated on account of Jesus' name, far more who want to finish fights than be peacemakers. But Jesus teaches us this so that we'll be able to see the road he has chosen, he who is the face of the Beatitudes, the road that he indicates to us to fast, to pray, to give alms differently than everybody else in the world, to have extraordinary trust in the Father's providence, who cares for us more than the lilies and the sparrows. He wants us to choose that path and not to look around for safety in numbers, to choose the path resolutely so that others in seeing us might recognize they have companions on the journey, because sometimes it might seem like a lonely journey. In each of these three things, Jesus, that pearl of great price, that one who shows us the golden rule incarnate and beckons us to follow, the one who is seeking to lead us on that narrow path to the Father's right side, constantly seeks to help us live the Sermon on the Mount. In anticipation, our Father in faith shows us an illustration of it in today's first reading. Abraham, as we'll see in a special way tomorrow, trusted and treasured the Lord in his words. When the Lord told him to leave Ur, the Chaldees, and go to a land he would show, up came Abraham with all his property, with all his flocks, all his family, and off he went. When he came to this land overflowing, he, recognizing the gift, chose to be able to give Lot the choice. He chose out of love. It would have been easy for him as the senior man, as the senior relative, to have chosen the best for himself. But doing to Lot what he would have wanted Lot to do to others, he gave Lot the choice, and Lot selfishly chose what he thought was the better portion. But Abraham didn't throw the gift of the Lord away like a pearl before swine. At the very end of the reading, we see that even though what he received was what Lot deemed second best, it was truly blessed by the Lord. He would find the Lord there, and he built an altar for the Lord in order to be able to say thanks and worship the Lord. Abraham, as our father in faith, shows us how to live. Today, as we celebrate this Mass, we remember that Jesus is this pearl of great price who speaks to us and gives himself to us. We're called to treasure him within and never waste him, never just squander him, never live in this throwaway culture, as Pope Francis says, but to recognize we are the blessed most blessed people in the world because of how we begin the day. That Jesus calls us to love others by this standard, to do this in his memory. And to recognize that even though this morning there were only seven of us here, we've chosen a better path, and we express incredible gratitude for the Lord's calling us to follow him along this path that leads to what he died to give.